back to the broadcast. We have the International Federation of Surveyors, FIG, and they talk about the state of the situation, and we'll get into this. They deal with economics of involuntary resettlement, published by the World Bank, listeners. We'll get into that, but let's continue with Jeremy and his thoughts. Go ahead.
I was just saying that even though everything I know concerns me to be pretty liberal, I think that the Second Amendment is very important. I think that it's not important to prevent crime. I don't think that everybody needs a gun to protect themselves from criminals. I think everybody needs a gun to protect themselves from exactly what's happening in New Orleans right now. I think it's a clear violation of our Second Amendment right. And, like, even though everybody claims the ACLU is, you know, a liberal organization, I would not be surprised if the ACLU, like, fought some of the cases to defend these people's Second Amendment rights, because it is so clearly a violation of their rights.
I hope you're right.
I can't imagine anybody, like, not getting upset about this. I just can't imagine it.
Society is safer when society does not know who's armed. And when we're disarmed, we'll find out. I tried to talk to someone in Australia about that who listens, but he never responded back to me about what it's like to live under a disarmed country.
I don't even care, like, whether it's better or not. Our framers put that in the Constitution for a reason, and I'd like to find out what their reasoning was. And I think that, like, our framers were geniuses. I believe every word they wrote.
I believe that they put it in there because they wanted to defend themselves against a tyrannical government.
Exactly. And, like, I don't think the government of Australia runs the risk of being tyrannical, but I think that
America's... but they're part of the U.N. system that wants to disarm the world.
I just think that the U.S. is very clearly polarized, and it's always been polarized. You know, there's always been somebody fighting about something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in order to maintain, you know, real peace and unity, like, people need to have guns. Like, not just, like, you know, people need guns so they can go out and shoot people, but people need to know that, like, they can't just grab our military and turn it against the citizens. I don't think that our military needs to be in New Orleans right now. National Guard, fine, but we don't need SEALs. We don't need real army patrols. Like, we need National Guard in there, like, rebuilding the levees. We don't need people going house to house seizing guns.
Now, the other point is, we don't need National Guard in Iraq.
I think National Guard should still be at home. Like, why does California have to send their National Guard down to Louisiana?
Well, why did we send any National Guard to Iraq?
I was against the war from the beginning, so, I mean, like, you're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah, well, there you are, though, people. Here it is. They sent our National Guard out of this country because they want to create shortage of our National Guard to bring in the jackbooted thugs under FEMA. And apparently this is the situation. But, Jeremy, I appreciate your thoughts.
No problem.
Thank you so much. Let's move to Larry, and certainly the board is just about full. With Jeremy dropping off, you can call in, 800-313-9443. And hello to Larry in Iowa.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Oh, I'm kind of seething right now.
I understand.
You know, the crux of this, the World Council of Churches is probably at least 50 or 60% responsible for the inception of the UN in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Through many of the mainstream churches and stuff like that. And I had a message for the pre-trib rapture cult and for the lying clergy in this country, but I don't think anybody's going to hear it today, so I will call that back in next week when we got a clear signal.
Yeah.
But they are complicit in the fact that this man that is our commander-in-chief has been allowed to do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
When people like you and I speak out, we're called conspiracy theorists, nuts.
Wackos.
Yep. And that, how dare us speak out against a good Christian president the way that he is and all that kind of thing. I think it's just ludicrous, and the blood of the people in Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama rests squarely on their heads, squarely
yep.
on their heads.
Yep.
And I am beside myself. I want to cry.
I've been holding back the tears this whole show.
And the people that are being killed down there, people, are people that think like you and I.
Many of them, most of them.
Right. And we're next.
I'm sorry to say.
Wherever we are, we're next. So, anyway, I know your board's full. Maybe you can give me a call tonight or something.
Okay, Larry, I appreciate your comments.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. And concern. Lots of concern here, listeners. The documentation speaks for itself. Throughout my house, it's here. The communist goals of 1963, under full implementation all these years. And here we are in 2005, under a created crisis, a state of national emergency in 15 states. A created crisis, I tell you. And until you do your research into weather modification, you will not understand what I'm saying. And never before in human history has it been so easy to find that documentation on our website, AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K, on purpose, as a statement. America with a K, listeners. The movie America with a K was very relevant. However, as I said before, the paratroopers didn't come down, but they're coming by boat now because of our need after a created crisis. The Hegelian dialectic working well. John in Pensacola, welcome.
Chris, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jeremy, he seems like a young fellow that's wanting to learn. His eyes are open, his ears are open. Was he calling in from Pennsylvania?
Oh, I've forgotten.
Uh-huh, because I didn't know on an earlier show, somebody by the same name from Pennsylvania called in to Alan Stang.
Uh-huh.
And was, in his own right, kind of naive, but looking for answers to questions.
Well, good for him for doing his best.
Yeah, that's right. I encourage it. Young man has to grow, you know. And I want to talk about Larry's comment as to the president, referring to him as commander-in-chief. Not until there's really a truly declared war by Congress should he receive that title. He is still just Mr. President. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Although he's being a dictator the way he's operating.
And
keep in mind, every president that we've lived under has been doing the same thing.
Right, but we should then refer to him as Manchua, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Now, in regards to you and Hansa, who I enjoy listening to when you have him on board, how long have you guys worked together?
Oh, shoot, maybe 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 6 months, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, please don't get offended. Last time he was on, you were kind of beaten up on him. You seemed a little frustrated with the fact that he wasn't tuned into like the UN agenda as much as you are, and he seems to be more pre-focused on the expansion of communism and such.
Well, my point with Hans is the fact that this has been going on for years here, and it's close now to fulfillment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I lost it. And yeah, I apologize for losing it. But.
Well, you guys work good together, you know, but you got to understand, this is my impression. I've met a lot of immigrants to this United States, you know, and they all want to prove that they're a good citizen. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think Hans is falling into that same camp. Mm-hmm. And consider where he came from, you know.
Yeah.
His preoccupation with communism is quite understandable, you know.
Yes, it is.
And we've had the luxury of growing up in a lot freer society and maybe being able to focus on these other, monsters like the UN and other organizations, CFR, et cetera, International Monetary Fund.
You see, Hans is tied in with Jeff Nyquist very tightly. And Jeff Nyquist considers the UN a useless think tank.
Oh yeah,
and this is Jeff Nyquist talking this way, and I got Jeff Nyquist a show on the other network, and he quit because of technical difficulties at the time. But I stayed with the other network. It's okay. It's working, and there's so few networks that I'm happy to be on both networks at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for the other network because it's so financially strapped. John has his ability and his experience to make this a success, and my hat's off to him. He did it. I didn't.
Yeah, listen, in that regard, finances, I've never been a man to wager money. I've never gone to buy a lotto ticket or anything, and I'm going to start doing that because hopefully if I win, I'm going to give the majority of my winnings to you guys with John Statmiller.
Well, I appreciate that thought, John.
Sure thing.
Thank you for your call.
Right out. Bye now.
Bye-bye. And let's pray for him to win the lottery and hope Fernando of Venezuela won't get the lottery, or someone else. Let's see here. Let's take Sheldon in Tucson. Hello, Sheldon.
Hi, Chris. You're definitely right about the shortwave. I just tried at least 8 frequencies, and they're all down. There's absolutely nothing on them.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah. The reason I called is there's a bill that was introduced in the Congress It has to do with the end of free speech radio. Familiar with that?
No, tell us.
It's the Anti-Defamation League's new hate bill, the death knell for talk radio. This is off Alex Jones' website, dated June 30th, and it's House Resolution 2662, called the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 05. It will very soon end free speech and free speech talk radio, and I was wondering if you had heard anything about it.
We had a guest on talking about that at one time, and we need to get him back, but have I heard about it? Yes. Not to the degree that you just reported it, however. I do realize that this is being done. I do realize they're trying to shut us up. The UN wants to control the Internet. I do realize it's going to be done and on the way, but I am happy that you found this information out.
And you know, these radio networks that were on my C-band satellite dish, like Genesis and Worldwide First Amendment and
right.
American Freedom Network, they all went off the dish. You know, they're all on the Internet now. I just wonder if someone's working behind the scenes there to make sure we can't hear this stuff.
Well,
there's a lot of people that don't have access to the Internet.
That's a good thought, Sheldon. Good thought. Any more?
Thanks for the call.
I appreciate your participation. Thank you. Yeah, we're being corralled, listeners. We're being corralled. And that's why I'm so upset and uptight. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. Stay with us. From the Canada Free Press, pandemic vaccine in hands of global depopulation advocates. Here's a quote. The AVDP is a 14-year project to develop new vaccine systems and related medical countermeasures to protect Canadian forces, personnel against political, chemical, and biological warfare threats, end quote. They say the United Nations health arm, the World Health Organization, has been warning us that much of the world is about to be wiped out by an avian flu pandemic. According to the National Post, front page headlines, doctors say, quote, the coming flu is expected to kill as many as 58,000 Canadians, end quote, and that was March 11th of this year, 2005. Pandemic buttons are being pushed by WHO, when no evidence exists that H5N1 is being transmitted between humans. At this juncture, avian flu seems isolated to a handful of Asian countries, with the government of China, North Korea, and Vietnam holding the fate of millions of people in their hands. Canada is known for its lax immigration laws and porous borders. Well, what's new, listeners, with America as well? When SARS began its not long ago lethal trek from the Orient to the West, it was reportedly accidentally released under a scientist visited released after a scientist visited a hotel near an airport in Beijing. Tragically, was soon to follow, and within days, SARS was infecting, and in some cases killing, nurses and doctors in Toronto, Canada. In the SARS aftermath, and bear with me, I don't have my high-powered glasses on right now, there never was an explanation of why the scientists went to that particular hotel close to the airport. Rumors abounded in Beijing at the time that the scientist was not Chinese but North Korean. WHO, the World Health Organization, tells us that avian flu is far worse than SARS. It is more infectious and more deadly. Avian flu is now entrenched in Asia, first striking in late 2003, and since January 2004, the disease has led to the slaughter of 2 million birds in Vietnam alone. The death toll is at least 46 people, and those who have already contracted avian flu is at least 69. There's more to this, but keep in mind, all meat is to be abolished in the world of Agenda 21. No steaks, no chicken. We're all to be vegetarians in Agenda 21. And there it is. Hegelian dialectic everywhere you look. Carl in Oklahoma, welcome.
Hello, Chris. Thanks
yes,
for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
Did you receive the package I mailed to you on Saturday?
I did.
Okay. Perhaps you'll understand a little more of what's taking place now. I suggest that the people finally wake up and realize not to wait for these bastards to come through and help you in any way. They have your planned destruction at hand, and they're on the fast track with it. I suggest that everybody load up with weapons and ammunition and food and supplies, and if FEMA gets on the horn and tells you to go to X place to be picked up, go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
It is the planned destruction of America. Now, there are things going on behind the scenes. The cavalry is out there working for you folks, and you'll understand that as you see what unfolds. I suggest to you, Chris, please consider coming for a visit while you can, so that I can reveal some other things to you. I do ask that you tune into the www.againstthegrain.info Sunday evenings 8 to 10 Central Time, and most especially on Monday evening 8 to 10, because that's when I'm going to announce certain things to the whole world.
Okay, very good.
I thank you for what you're doing for the people, and keep your head up and your eyes open. Don't worry about surviving. You're going to survive, as are the true people of this country. You will survive. So don't lose hope, and don't just sit and wait for the destruction to come. Arm yourselves and do what you have to do for your families, and use your own spirits, and you'll get through it.
I appreciate that.
Just praise and thank the watchers. Those are the true powers that be, and it's not the Lord's gods and angels, as everybody will become abundantly clear soon.
Thank you,
Chris, and please call me any time after the show or this evening if you wish, and I have some other things I'd like to discuss with you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. As far as arming yourselves, listeners, I've been armed since I was a teenager. I used to work at a gun shop called Packmeyer's in Los Angeles. I bought weapons. I enjoyed guns. I still have every gun I bought when I was a teenager, when I was working for Packmeyer's in Los Angeles. When the World Trade Organization passed in 94, I stocked up on ammunition because I wasn't reloading anymore. An armed society is a safe society, listeners. And the education that anybody can attain about what's going on around us today to make it relevant and very pertinent that you must arm yourself to protect yourself and your family and your country is on AmericanExpose.com. Blueprint for the Peace Race. It's there. It's right there. We'll be back with Lyle, and then we'll deal with Blueprint for the Peace Race, the transition to the communitarian system by the Communist Party of Great Britain, as the Communist Party in Iraq is alive and well right now, as we help that to happen with the IMF's military, the U.S. government's military, and the IMF people. Stay with us. Welcome back to the show. Is FEMA ready for the Bay Area earthquake by Ann Werner? She says the federal government is facing intense criticism for its response to Hurricane Katrina. Now, how many people in the Bay Area are wondering how the feds will respond when a major earthquake hits our region? And there's that UN lingo, region. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, is now part of the Department of Homeland Security, where the emphasis is on terrorism, not natural disasters. That has affected the government's preparation for disasters like New Orleans, as well as earthquakes. Randolph Linenbaugh spent 12 years working at FEMA. Quote, I left FEMA a year ago, end quote, he said. Quote, I took an early retirement. And one of the reasons I did this was that the agency had substantially changed, end quote.
Langenbaugh says the agency used to have a clear purpose, but started to transfer from low morale and high turnover. Quote, when I started work for FEMA, there was a real sense that this was an important activity, he said. The sense of mission had disappeared, and they were just ready to get out, end quote. So, you know, once again, keep in mind, FEMA was set up as a backup government, a national emergency government. So what do? They created the Office of Homeland Security. Roadmap for National Security was formed in January of 2001. They just needed to pull off an event to bring in Homeland Security. And certainly we know September 11, 2001 was the result of that. And the article from Popular Mechanics, New Orleans is sinking, came out on that same date, September 11, 2001. New Orleans is sinking. And here we have what we have now. Lyle, welcome to the show, Lyle.
Yes, sir. One of your previous callers, Jeremy, was speculating as to why the Founding Fathers put in the Second Amendment. And after doing a lot of research and study on the issue, my conclusion is it's to prevent the exact type of thing that's supposedly happening down south right now. And earlier in the show, you mentioned they call us terrorists. It's best they be terrified, because now is the time to not only stand your ground, but take ground and send those curs running with their tails between their legs. And I'm talking about the jackbooted thugs and the foreign troops. If we don't stop it now, it's going to get out of hand.
No.
And we better, like I say, we better not just sit there and wait for them to come to us, baby. Take it to them. Lock and load. Let's go.
Well, I understand your point.
Because it's not going to get any better. I've been following this for 40 years, and it doesn't get any better. We should have put our foot down back then, and we didn't do it. We didn't do it when they grabbed several of our people like Mark Kornke and others, whether you agree with what they did or not. They've been picking us off one at a time, and now they're going to take us one area at a time.
Yeah.
It's time to just say enough is enough and get their butts out of here and get some hemp growing for the rope we need for the real traitors.
You know, we really needed to take out communist China when MacArthur wanted to do it.
Well, and Patton.
And Patton before him, correct.
Yep. No,
correct.
They were of the right mind. And
yes.
Unfortunately, they were stymied by people like Eisenhower that just happened to be one of the insiders.
Just a lackey.
Yep.
Yeah.
And anyway, I've probably said too much now. I only have one thing to say to the people that are paid to listen to this. Moulin Labé.
Thank you. I understand the frustration, people. You do, too. And here, shortwave is basically down. Jeff in Massachusetts. Hello, Jeff.
Yes. Now, you were talking about firearms, which is very interesting, because I took up firearms training to move up in the security world.
Oh, yeah.
And Massachusetts does have some of the strictest gun laws in this country. But as the main meat of my message, which is, what happens if your guns do get taken away? Your best weapon is your mind. I also took up martial arts. A knife is a legal weapon. So is a stick. So is a pen. So is anything that your mind can think of as a strictly defensive measure.
You know, Jeff, a good movie for everyone to watch is The Last Samurai, which is starring Tom Cruise. That is a great movie to watch, The Last Samurai. I think I've watched that thing about 18 times. Over and over and over again. I watch that thing because it's so relevant today, where the controlled government of Japan engineered our government to bring in weapons to control the samurais who use swords and bows and arrows, and so our military might was sent over to Japan to deal with the samurais. I got a chill up my spine even talking about that movie because it is so relevant today.
Well, to extend what you're talking about, what was the concept of martial arts? It means the art of war, which is a book by Sun Tzu. And in Okinawa, for instance, it is a fact they took away the weapons from the people. The people didn't have access to swords. All they had access to were farm implements. The nunchucks was a rice flail. They had their farm implements and stuff like that. In other words, what happens when they want to make the obtainment of a black belt and make that into a registration? What happens then? Then you practice out in the streets with in an unbelted system. In fact, most martial arts schools today really do stink and teach the tournament style of martial arts, or they teach the traditional style. What you're going to get, the best way to learn martial arts is from either an ex-military person or a street fighter or a program like that that teaches very simple moves. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to register yourself?
No. Most of the good stuff that I learned was from people who were former street fighters.
I see.
And but I do have to say this, and I benefited from it. I took up the model mugging program, which is very good and teaches and is designed to teach women on how to prevent themselves from getting mugged. Well, they also have a men's program too, and I took it up. It was actually pretty good, even though they're liberal.
Uh-huh.
But I benefited from it.
Sure.
But that's all I have to say. Don't put all your eggs in the one basket, because in order to use a firearm very good, guess what? The person's going to be 21 feet away from you, and that predator can close the distance very easily.
Now, what's going to happen when they demand, under the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, because of the redistribution of populations, what is going to happen when they demand that you be vaccinated before you can purchase food or go to a restaurant? And you have to have your papers in order that you've had your current amount of vaccinations, which is murder in itself, Jeff.
Oh, yes. Those vaccinations are a death sentence. And the fact of the matter is, I would not go for vaccinations because I know the nature of the beast in that aspect.
And many of us will not.
Yes, because you know why? I don't want to die from a vaccination. I got enough problems already.
I hear you.
And That's all I have to say with the aspect of martial arts and hand to hand and so forth, and even the fact that we're going into war with Iraq and these other countries is wrong, because guess what? The concept of warfare is defensive. You learn to fight so you don't have to fight. That's always been a strain in traditional martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
And Bush, being the warmonger that he is completely against our Constitution. And let me switch gears. Mexican foreign troops are in our country right now, which has never happened in the history of our country.
And Canadian foreign troops.
Oh, Canadians too.
Yeah, Canadian contingent is here as well.
Oh, brother.
Absolutely.
Never happened in the history of our country.
Now this fits all in very, very tightly and neatly to the plan from the past. Here we send our military out of this country, and we send in foreign military to this country. The American people don't get upset because this is a natural disaster, and the whole world international community is coming to our rescue, even though we've been flipping the bill for the United Nations for this last 60 years. It's the 60th anniversary of the United Nations on October 24th. Isn't that relevant?
Yeah, it is. It is definitely relevant, and let me go. And as a closing note, did you ever read the David Bay website, cuttingedge.org?
Not since you've told me to. No, I haven't. Maybe I should get him on though. You know him, right?
Yes. Why don't you
arrange that so we can put him on take my number down. Stay on. Take my number down, and because we wanted to do this before. Stay on, and the board operator will give you my phone number, and let's talk.
Oh, okay.
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 Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. The point is, I'm willing to put people on, yes, especially with a big listening audience, which has been greatly reduced today. But, David Bay should come on, and we should get into this, all of this. But keep in mind, from 1962, the Blueprint for the Peace Race, the implementation of State Department Publication 7277, on April 18, 1962, a press conference, the United States has today tabled at Geneva an outline of every basic provision of a treaty on general and complete disarmament in a peaceful world. It provides a blueprint of our position on general and complete disarmament, as well as elaboration of the nature, sequence, and timing of specific disarmament measures, listeners. It says this outline of a treaty represents the most comprehensive and specific series of proposals the United States or any other country has ever made on disarmament. In addition to stating the objectives and principles which should govern agreements for disarmament, the document calls for the grouping of individual measures in three balanced and safeguarded stages. This is a 41-page document, people. We are hopeful through the give and take of the conference table this plan will have a constructive influence upon the negotiations now in progress. This document, in one of these pages, deals with observation missions of conflicts, where whatever conflict is in place, observationers, people observing the conflicts, are there to monitor and to direct. And this is why during the Vietnam War, when we had situations of attack, it was like they were waiting for us in Vietnam. And I wasn't there. I've had reports from people that were there. And so the Hegelian dialectic is so well entrenched in America today, going back to Vietnam and Korea and the Second World War. Absolutely. I think back on Bobby Garwood. His whole desire growing up was to be a Marine, a proud Marine. And in 1965, he was 10 days to going home from Vietnam to marry his girlfriend. And he was sent on a quote-unquote routine mission to pick up someone to take him to the airport, a high-ranking officer. And he went to a place called China Beach. Not the China Beach that you remember from the television series, but a real hot zone China Beach. And he was taken. He was taken as a prisoner, Bobby Garwood. He was a private first class. He was the driver, the Jeep driver for General Walt of the Marine Corps. And he was taken as a prisoner. He was thought to have been a high-ranking leveled officer because he had no firearm but a sidearm. And to the Viet Cong, he was considered a high-ranking military person because of the Jeep that he was driving, which had all sorts of communications equipment on it to talk to Washington and to communicate with Washington. Bobby Garwood was taken. He was kept in confinement for 14 years, and he found a way to get out in 1979. He was given all the great tortures. He was put in a hole, and he was defecated upon. He had his toenails pulled out by a fellow POW. Bobby Garwood is a true American hero, but he was court-martialed when he came back. When he found a way to get out. How did he find a way to get out? Eisenbrom. He was in prison with a fellow named Eisenbrom, who was a special forces individual. Eisenbrom taught Bobby Garwood the Vietnamese language. That's the only way he was going to survive, is to be able to communicate with them. So he was taught 10 new words a day, Bobby Garwood was, from Eisenbrom. And Bobby Garwood learned to communicate with them. And he turned around with them and started repairing the military equipment that was left in Vietnam. He made himself useful to the Vietnamese, or the Viet Cong. He made himself useful to them. So he stayed alive, and others stayed alive, too. Other POWs were left behind. 85% of 5,000 POWs left behind in Vietnam. Not nearly the number that were left behind in Korea. It was like 8,000. POWs in Korea, and that was because of the severe weather, the snow, the cold. Ew, jeez. But Bobby Garwood was court-martialed for speaking the truth. Bobby Garwood said there were more. Bobby Garwood was court-martialed for collaborating with the enemy. Well, when you're a prisoner in that kind of circumstance, and he'd been in prison for 3 years when these other people came in and started accusing him of collaborating with the enemy. They made Garwood carry weapons. They made Garwood look like he was on the other side. There wasn't any ammunition in those weapons. Bobby Garwood tried to get food to those other prisoners, and he did. But he was collaborated upon by these other people in the POW camps saying Bobby Garwood was a traitor. Well, Colonel Tom McKinney found that that was not true. Colonel Tom McKinney wanted to kill Bobby Garwood He wanted to murder Bobby Garwood. There was a move to kill Bobby Garwood in the Marine Corps. But Tom McKinney realized that that was wrong, and they're very, very good friends today. And we've had a series of interviews with them, or I have, way back when, 1998. Very relevant today. The Bobby Garwood story. The book Spite House is available. But my whole point of getting here was the fact that Blueprint for the Peace Race, listeners, was done in 1962. Observation missions. The Vietnam War was a setup. We did not have to lose the Vietnam War. It was designed for us to lose the Vietnam War, to where we have an all-volunteer military set up in 1973, where we are right now, listeners, with our military sent overseas on mercenary UN missions. And then we get a weather war put on us. And now we have foreign troops from Mexico and Canada in America today. We have 15 states in a national emergency. By the end of the year, it could very well be, and I promise you, all 50 states by the end of the year could be under a state of national emergency. There could be sickness and health issues. There could be mandatory vaccinations. What are you going to do? Oh, grace of God, the show's about to end. It's been a very painful day for me, people. Very painful. We'll be back to wrap it up. Stay with us. As we wrap it up today, listeners, very, very important to support RBN. Their number, 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. The ongoing costs continue each month. You must support them, people. Support the sponsors. Tell them Chris Gerner sent you. 800-724-2719. Support Republic Trading, people. 800-691-7898. That's 800-691-7898. Tell them Chris sent you. Let's go to Paul in Fort Lauderdale, last caller of the day. Paul, welcome.
Hi, Chris. Just to wrap it up, we apparently got another severe CME from the sun. Your shortwave is wiped out.
Yes.
I noticed the last 3 days, these always happen somewhere between 2 and or 3 and about 6 in the afternoon. Apparently, the sun has a clock timer on it.
It's when Gerner shows up.
Yeah, now, you know, I was born on a Tuesday morning in Salem, Massachusetts, but it wasn't last Tuesday morning. I'll bet you somebody's trying to get that hurricane cranked up so it'll go marching right into Savannah. Nice, busy port. That's just a guess.
Yeah, well, it's a pregnant one, isn't it?
It could be, but I find it really strange that these so-called solar flares wipe out the short wave the same time every day.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
Maybe Halliburton got the contract to do that. What do you think?
I don't know either.
They can't get everything else. I might as well get that, too.
I suppose.
Well, okay, Chris. I just thought I'd give you a heads up on the shortwave.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Paul. Yeah. The mess is in place, people. I'm here at my desk. Paperwork all around. I'm looking at the computer. Paperwork there, Blueprint for the Peace Race. Paperwork on the internet, listeners. Documentation is there. Blueprint for the Peace Race. It's 41 pages. Study this document. Study this document. It's under the Congressional Medal of Honor. On our website, AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K. Dennis was late in getting the information up on the website. I haven't had a chance to even go to it because I've been concentrating on the paperwork in front of me and Blueprint for the Peace Race. And they talk about the outline of basic provisions of a treaty on general and complete disarmament in a peaceful world. Well, the crescendo, the ending swan song is here right now. Those people in the devastated areas are being disarmed, have been disarmed. They'll never be able to own a weapon down there or ever again wherever they go because they're decimated. They're financially destroyed. All their wealth was left where they came from. Now, where's the next one going to happen? This is why weather modification needs to be studied and researched by everyone. Research it. It's there on AmericanExpose.com and elsewhere. And people, it's just easy to do this today, easy to document, until they control the Internet, as the UN wants to do that. And here, we accept UN offer to rush aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina. Perfect opportunity to bring the foreign troops to America from the UN system. Perfect opportunity to send our troops out of this country in 2003 for this latest war, and in 2001 after the World Trade Center disaster in Afghanistan. God bless you all. Please pray for all of us and the restoration of a constitutional republic. Good afternoon. I'm going to go to the hospital.